Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
All pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. Friday afternoon, Eagle Hour. No surprise, back on the road again. We're at Southern Bancorp in Midtown, our studio sponsor, and we're happy to be in their place this afternoon. Great Bank. We'll be talking to Daniel Stewart a little later in the show, and always look forward to our visits with Daniel. Opening segment of the show, as it is every day, of course, is sponsored by our good friends at Dickey's Barbecue, where you can cater your next event or you can always enjoy a great meal. Let's get right to it. We got one of our favorite guests on the show. Jay Walker is the legendary play-by-play voice of the Raging Cajuns. And as he just told me off the air, he's just a lot more than another pretty face. Jay, it's always good to have you on the Eagle Hour, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always good to be with you. I gotta tell you, and I told you before we went on, fall baseball practice has started, and I'm sitting at Russo Park. The baseball team just had a little three-inning inter-squad, and so I've been watching that. So I'm multitasking today.
What a hard job. I told you my second favorite college baseball team, the Raging Cajuns. I always love watching the Raging Cajuns play baseball, and I guess tomorrow night we'll be watching them play football. Now, let me ask you this question that's on the minds of some Southern Miss people. As you know, Southern Miss is struggling a little bit in football. Some fans kind of clinging to this 11 straight win thing, which just seems almost impossible to believe, but is that any way being used as a motivator for the Cajuns, or is that just fan stuff?
I think when you're a coach, you grasp for any straw you can find. And, I think last year I thought the Cajuns were the better football team, but Southern Miss wound up winning the game. I thought the teams were pretty even 2 years ago, and it was like 29-5 at the end of the first quarter. So, I don't think that you harp on it if you're a coach, but I do think you make your team aware of what has happened. Now, because the teams have played the last 2 years, I don't think they need to hear a whole lot about the history, because they know the recent history, and that Southern Miss has won the last two games.
All right. This is a pretty good Cajun football team, though, isn't it, Jay? You guys looked, I thought, played a really good game against what is clearly a very good Tulane football team. And you guys, I think, have played well all year. Am I wrong?
No, I think for the most part they have. The Tulane game, they wish they had that back, because there were two plays. There was a pick six just before the end of the half, and then they returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown. And those two plays really kind of did them in. I think this team's got a long way to go to be a good defensive team, but I'll say this, I think you guys know me enough to where I try not to sugarcoat one way or the other. I think this is a good offensive football team. The offensive line has opened holes. The Cajuns have a ton of guys who can catch the ball. They've got a veteran guy who can throw it, and they've got three running backs that are all very good. They've only turned the ball over twice this season, and because of that, they've been able to score a lot of points.
Yeah. Dema, you predicted at the start of the year 4 wins for the Golden Eagles. You altered that a little bit. Is this one of those four wins?
No, it was not. And I wanted to ask our guest here. You know, you look back on the 2 years, like you said, Louisiana, you know, I think 2 years ago it was like a two-point spread or something like that in favor of the Cajuns. And then last year was an eight-point spread, a 16.5 road favorite. 16.5, that's just kind of a resounding number for a rivalry like this. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would, but I know why, okay? I know why the spread is 16.5, because, first of all, Vegas doesn't do that because they think that's how much a team's going to win by. That's not the purpose of setting a line. But the reason I think that the Cajuns are favored, because, you know, Vegas looks at what's happened so far. Well, all I'm looking at are the 13 times that Southern Miss has turned the football over so far this year.
Yeah, for sure.
Now,
for sure.
If they get that part of it figured out, they'll be a competitive football team. And if it just so happens that this Saturday is the day that they figure that part of it out, then this is going to be a dogfight. You know, Billy Napier used to say it, Mike Desimo say it, Mark Hudspeth used to say it, there is no more important statistic in football than turnover margin. And if you're giving the football away, you're not going to win a lot of football games. And one of the reasons why the Cajuns have only lost once this year is because they only have two turnovers. Southern Miss is 1-4 because they've turned it over 13 times. You don't have to have five college degrees to figure that out, right? It's if you turn the football over a lot, you're not going to win. And as soon as they figure out how to not do that, they're going to be able to compete.
Jay, this is Kelly Sander. Thanks for being on the program. One of the statistics that scares me is the fact that you talked about your offensive line and three very talented running backs, and quite frankly, the Southern Miss defense has not had any prowess at all at stopping the run. So in talking to Coach DeSormo this week, would you expect a more run-heavy offense this week based on the fact that the Eagles have not been able to stop any type of running game?
Well, this is a program that for over a decade now has built their offense about their ability to run the football. Now, I will say this, they're a lot more balanced this year because they feel like they've got a quarterback that can get the football to the guys that they need to get it to, and they've got an offensive line that has protected them well so far. Now, they still want to run the football, okay? But I do think they want to be a little bit more balanced now than they were, and if you look at the averages, you're going to see it. You know, the passing average and running average, yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of within striking distance of each other. And you know what? If Southern Miss can run the football, then they're going to run it this week too, because the Cajuns haven't been very good at stopping the run. So I think that both teams ought to just line up, run the football, and the team that slows the other team down wins the game.
All right. Hey, I wanted to ask you before we run out of time. I was watching one of your games here recently, the beautiful stadium expansion that's taking place. When will that be done, Jay, and how much is that going to change the complex of Cajun football?
Well, what it's going to do is it's going to bring more money into the program, because that entire side that they're redoing right now is a lot of that's going to be luxury suites and loge boxes and club level that this program's never had with their stadium. You know, they built that thing 50 years ago and then really haven't done much to it since then until now. So this year they're playing in half a stadium. Seating capacity is about 23,000. It will, you know, next year be about 33,000. But it's going to be a beautiful facility. It is on schedule right now. And when we host the Rice Owls on the 30th of August for the 2025 season, it should be good to go.
I can't let you go until I say this. You said you just watched a scrimmage. What does the Cajun baseball team look like?
Man, I'll tell you what. We've got 13 freshmen on this team. You know, they're recruiting differently now. NIL, I think, has forced that. And what has happened now is, you know, Louisiana's got a lot of good baseball players. And what's happening now is, you know, LSU now, if they've got a gap in their team and they need to fill it, well, they're not going recruiting high school kids. They're going to go pay kids to come play for them to fill the gaps. And what's happening now is you have a lot of high school kids that probably weren't attainable a few years ago that the Cajuns are able to get now. So they got 13 freshmen this year, and my understanding is Coach Degg says he believes that their best recruiting class is getting ready to sign in November. And once again, a lot of freshmen, they want to bring them in, develop them, and then keep their fingers crossed and hope they can keep them.
I wanted to ask you, going back to football real quickly, about Ben Wooldridge, and I know we're almost out of time, but he played in that game in, at the Rock 2 years ago, threw three interceptions, kind of changed the dynamic of that game. This year he's been having a great season, almost 1,000 yards passing, 9 touchdowns, great QB rating. What about him has set him apart from what the Golden Eagle fan base saw 2 years ago?
Well, he's grown up. I mean, he's 25 years old. He is, you know, he's gone through both the last 2 years, gone through some real injury issues. He's back because he loves to play. He's worked very, very hard. But he's a guy that's got a lot more experience now. And he's playing like an experienced quarterback. He's a leader. He's the guy that they look to. And he's performed very well. He's gotten good coaching. And he's not the same guy that went to Hattiesburg 2 years ago. I can guarantee you that.
No, Jay, always good talking to you. I hope I get up there and say hello to you tomorrow night. And thanks as always, buddy, for being on the show.
I appreciate you having me. Look forward to seeing y'all, too. Take care.
All right, the great Jay Walker, everybody. We'll be back. More from Southern Bank right after this.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Eagle Hour is at Southern Bancorp in Midtown Hattiesburg. I want to thank Jay Walker for coming on the show. He truly is one of my favorite people I've met doing this show for the last 10 years. And Jay calls it, Kelly, like it is about the Raging Cajuns. He doesn't. He's not a homer. I mean, he's going to tell you just what he thinks.
I thought the thing that was most poignant that he said was, you really don't know how good the Southern Miss team is until they hang on to the stinking football.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I don't care how good you are. If you turn it over, you're going to lose.
Right. There is a rumor that Jay's going to have dinner tonight with Danny Lynch, but I'm just thinking that's nothing more than a rumor.
I was going to say, I don't think that – I think he would probably have dinner with China before he would have
Daniel Stewart is one of the leaders here at Southern Bancorp and a good friend of ours. And Daniel, we always appreciate you having us down here, man.
Hey, glad to have you guys here.
One of the things you were talking about business-wise, Danny, before we get to Southern Miss stuff, early in the year, you guys – because people keep talking about, interest rates are so high. Man, you guys have been busy this
fall. We have. You know, surprisingly, interest rates were historically in mid-range.
Right.
People always talk about the 70s. They were 13, 14%.
The Jimmy Carter years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you look at the last 10 years, and an 8.5% rate's high.
Right.
You know. But there was still a lot of activity going on. We stayed really busy. So seeing rates kind of on the downward slide now, we're hoping that that's going to spark a little bit of those people that were maybe on the sidelines. Hey, you know, get back in here. Let's do some things you've been waiting to do. And I think we're going to be even busier than we've been.
But it's good to hear, though, that it hasn't completely shut
has
business
not
down at all.
Stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, this beautiful building that just got built by, is that the Jones Company?
Yeah.
Man, it's strikingly attractive.
Really attractive.
It's amazing when I come down here till this day, Daniel, how this area took off and continues to grow.
Well, you know, the 2013 tornado that came through here damaged the old Elam Arms dorm, and you know, since then, I guess that's now 11 years ago, this area has just transformed here. We have people that come from other of our branches. We have a lot of branches in the Delta, Arkansas. They walk into our location, their eyes are like, oh, my gosh, this is just a really beautiful location. And we're right here in the center of everything. I mean, we're right across the road from USM. A lot of restaurants here. A lot of activity up and down Hardy Street. So we're in a really good spot.
Yeah. Midtown's been, I think, is it fair to say a bigger success than maybe anyone ever really envisioned?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, but you look where it is, like we've said, it's right in the middle of everything. You've got game days here for not just football, but baseball too. You know, Fuzzy's stays packed. I hate we lost Zeke's, but I think we've got something else going to move in there. Rock and Roll Sushi, Chicken Salad Chick, the hotel right here. It's just a really good hub for people to come and hang out prior to game day.
And you can get a parking place without having to buy a season ticket.
There you go.
Well, sometimes you get a parking place.
That's true.
It's pretty busy. Yeah. It's pretty busy.
I
don't guess you'd mind talking baseball.
No, I think we can. Yeah, we can talk baseball.
Former pitcher, slayer of the Mississippi State Bulldog. Have you got like a stuffed bulldog somewhere in your house that you slap every now and then?
The old voodoo doll with the bulldog?
Kick it when you walk by?
No, I don't. I don't have that. Yeah, but growing up in Meridian, Mississippi, Collinsville, went to West Lauderdale, grew up a State fan, went to Meridian Junior College, and my dad always said when Mississippi State didn't recruit me, like, hey, if you ever get a chance to pitch against them, you better beat them. Beat them twice.
You sure did.
You know, well, you went from being a Meridian Eagle
to a Golden Eagle.
To a Southern Miss Golden
Eagle. Coach Barry came same year I did, so it was a nice match.
And so Coach Oz is able to work it out with – I'm sorry, what's the coach's name at State? His name always slips my mind. Baseball coach.
Lamonis.
Coach Lamonis.
Oh, Lamonis, yes.
Yeah. They're able to work it out where they're going to start playing a home-and-home every year, and I just think that's fabulous.
I do, too. You know, back when I played – we would have a Tuesday, Wednesday in Starkville. The next year was a Tuesday, Wednesday in Hattiesburg. Great for our fans, great for our state. So to have that kind of kick back up again,
it's
going to be really
fun. It's going to be really good. Yeah. It'd be a fun way to kick off the year. And we have great respect for the Mississippi State baseball program.
Absolutely.
No question.
Definitely do.
Excuse me, but I want to ask you this. And I said this to you before we went on the air. Fans are going to be all pumped. Mm-hmm. I get it. I'll be pumped. I'll be excited. Coach Oz and fans will want to win the game at all. Put our best guy on the mound. Put our best guy. Shut him down.
He's out of eligibility.
He doesn't have any eligibility.
Yeah, I'm out.
I'm done. No doubt we'd start Daniel. But Coach Oz is going to approach it from his weeknight routine, and it starts tonight with Mississippi State, right?
You know, as much as I would love him to coach for the fans, he's not going to coach for us. He's going to coach for what's best for the team. And we saw it last year. Those midweek games were really games where those guys could, you know, maybe you don't pitch seven or eight innings, but you get one or two or maybe three every week against some really good competition. That paid off at the end of the year. Those guys weren't just out there for the first, second, or third time when it really counted. They'd been able to get some innings in early on, and it really helped our team. So he's going to coach that way.
They were dogs by the end of the year.
They were. And even though I want to go out there and pitch our best and try to beat Mississippi State,
how about it, Damon?
It's not that way.
Is Coach Oz going to approach that game what's best for the development of the team, or let's beat Mississippi State tonight?
Yeah, well, I think that first road Mississippi State game is the first midweek of the year. So I don't expect anything other than just trying to get in there and get some new arms in there. And it'll be after the first weekend series. I mean, I would expect that to be the case. They're not going to be pitching, you know, their ace on Friday night to win that game. No,
and we should say, in all fairness, Mississippi State will very likely take the same approach.
They will. Yeah. And, you know, we talked about that earlier. I'd never seen a year where not just us, but it seemed like every team we played used those midweek games as developments, innings and development games for their pitchers.
Yeah.
Yep. So they're going to use the same approach we are.
But historically, you know, you've in Southern Miss baseball in the past couple of years that Southern Miss would play some of those midweek pitchers, and then by the end of the season, they would pierce their way into the starting rotation.
Absolutely.
Tanner Hall is a great example.
Absolutely.
Did the midweeks in 2022.
Yeah.
2023, Billy Oldham just kind of came out of nowhere.
Absolutely.
And then last year is Colby Allen. You know, they pitched him a lot in those midweeks, and then he just became their closer after that. So
one of those pitchers. And the baby Ock.
and Baby Lock.
And really, this is coming. This same strategy is coming to fruition in the major leagues. You guys know I'm a Tigers fan, but stay with me.
Congratulations to the Tigers.
Thank you very much.
Well, he had to get that in.
No, but
he knows how he's dropped
the Bengals. That's pretty good to beat the Astros.
He's dropped the Bengals, and now he's on the Tiger bandwagon.
I just want to make a point. With we talked about pitching. You know how Oz is always going to have great pitchers. Coach Lamona said, look, the Tigers said at the beginning of the first half of the year, if these guys will pitch, we have a chance to win because we can't hit our way out of a wet lunch bag. All right? That's exactly what has happened. The Tiger pitching staff is so deep and so talented that their starting pitchers are only going two innings a game other than Tarek Skubal. Well, and they're pitching by Johnny Holstaff, and I think you'll see a lot of that.
You and I have had that conversation about Southern Miss in the past couple of years. They can have a bad offensive weekend, but the pitching staff just carry them through.
Well, they'll keep them in the game.
Yeah.
And when you look at that Astros series that Dima was talking about, the Astros scored one and two runs. Mm-hmm. Well, if your pitching staff, and of course the Astros are a very good baseball team, if you can keep teams at any level to one or two runs, I don't care how poorly you hit the ball, you're in the game.
Yeah.
You may not win it, but you're in it.
Yeah, because the Detroit only scored, three runs in one game and then like four in the next.
So. But that has been the way they've done it all year long.
Yeah.
So they're not going to put up the numbers like the Dodgers and Yankees and those sexy numbers, but they're winning games with a bunch of guys who nobody's heard of.
Yeah.
Which I like even better.
All right, Daniel, people tell me that I talk way too much about baseball, but hey, it's legit. They're scrimmaging. They're scrimmaging this afternoon, right?
Yeah. I think it's a great opportunity if you're a fan. Now, we talked about the parking. May not have the best parking situation for this weekend, but, go to the Pete. Watch them play each other. I can remember those days. We were pretty competitive because, if I was on black team or gold team, it was my teammates, but I was still trying to bring it and prove myself and do well. So it's going to be a pretty competitive scrimmage that you're going to see.
And there's a lot of young kids on this team,
a lot of young
pitchers that need to get some time on the mound, right?
Yeah, there are. And, I think a lot like last year, probably going to be some new names that are coming on board that us as fans are not going to recognize, and giving them a chance to play and try to develop some chemistry with the other team members that we've got. So just get ready for the spring.
Doesn't the whole weekend rotation have to be replaced?
Yeah, pretty much everybody. I'm assuming you have Colby Allen in that Friday night role, and then Matthew Adams probably in somewhere in there. And then I don't know who the third guy would be. I would assume it'd be, maybe they got to throw a lefty in there. So maybe Civilly or a Best or something like that.
But that's great news for any of the guys that have just come here.
Well, of course. Right,
there's a spot open.
Of course.
All right, let me compete for
And then
it.
The midweek job is wide open.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe Baby Ock will get that.
But. You know, to get a McCarty English back is going to be huge. I think Drake Meeks is probably going to have a great year this year. So a lot of those guys we saw some last year have some pretty good success, but maybe weren't at the level of the Colby Allen successes he had. We're going to see those guys step up this
year. Who's the kid, and again, forgive me for not remembering his name, wore glasses? Pitched so hard, upper 90s, mid 90s. I think he's going to play a bigger role.
I can't think of his name at the moment.
And I
he's
think
got three names. Flowers.
Ben Riley Flowers.
Ben Riley Flowers, yes.
And I think Ben Riley Flowers, and I think Ock. I think those are going to be big names out of the bullpen.
Absolutely.
So we expect Ben Miley Flowers to, Riley Flowers to blossom this spring, right?
So clever.
All right. Break.
Will East is next. We're going to preview high school football around the state, and then we'll bring our buddy back here. You going to do picks with us?
Let's do it.
All right. We'll be right back. More from Southern Bancorp.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Excuse me. Super Talk Eagle Hour at Southern Bancorp. in Midtown. Daniel Stewart remains with us. We'll try to catch up here with Will East, program director of Super Talk Tuckahoe High School Ball. Kelly, got something you'll say?
I knew earlier in the season, Bob, there was this this flap about tailgating, you know, at Southern Miss, and that they wouldn't allow a certain play. At 12 o'clock today, they did open the campus. So if people want to, you know, regular tailgating spots, if you want to go set up your tents and
good.
So on.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, you can do that. So, and it's already open now. So you
now you have to park at the convention center and walk your stuff up.
Take your shuttle.
That, it's really
you
know,
if you're going to the baseball scrimmage tomorrow morning, good luck with parking.
Right. The baseball parking lot has been eliminated for baseball fans because of the nighttime football game.
Park at
Walmart. What do you think
Uber.
About that?
It's right, Uber.
Uber. You know, it is what it is. You got two events, and the main event tomorrow is a football game, so they're going to prioritize parking for that. But, you know, when there's a will, there's a way, and if you really want to go to the scrimmage, you'll find a way to get there.
For guys like me, you know, this Kelly doesn't know about this, but guys like me, we have parking passes close to the stadium.
Yeah, but you also have media badges, too, that gets you right up there.
Speaking of that, I think we're having, filet mignon and crawfish etouffee tomorrow night.
You know, I'm bringing my wife.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Dinner tomorrow
night. We'll have a nice meal in the press box. On.
You know, Kelly, we can open the door to our car and almost throw a rock and hit the stadium. Where are you parking?
Well, since I know what you're driving, I'm going to stand about 50 yards away and throw rocks at your car. How about that? Yeah, I'm out there with the regular people. You know, actually, I am tailgating tomorrow with Tim Walz because he's a regular guy. He says he is.
Is he?
Well, he says he is.
Is he really? He's going to get you a job, too.
Yeah. Says he's just a regular guy that cares about regular people.
I think we found Will East. He may have hung up after hearing this conversation. Will, welcome. We're at Southern Bancorp here in Midtown, so we have a little bit of delay. But we always enjoy talking to you on Fridays. And all right, let's get right to it. Give me the three big games of the week, Will East.
Well, I would say probably the biggest game of the night is another one of these private versus public schools, and that's Wes Jones, the Mustangs, 5-0, taking on Jackson Prep, who's 6-0. Good grief, they've already played six games. That's pretty incredible. But, you know, Wes Jones, you kind of know what you're getting with them. They're going to play defense. They're going to run the ball. They're averaging something like 300 rushing yards per game. And normally, you know, when I look at a public school versus a private school, I automatically give the advantage to the public school. But after that MRA blowout over Oak Grove a couple weeks ago, I question that a little bit nowadays. And this game is at Jackson Prep. Jackson Prep has been just overpowering their opponents this season. But this is going to be a tough game for them. And they have Jackson Prep has a tough road ahead. They've got Hartfield here in a few weeks, then they got MRA, and then they've got JA. So I think this will be a pretty good game tonight. So I think this is one of the ones to mark your – if you're going to go to a game in the Jackson metro area, that's the game to go to. Now, if you're in the Berg tonight, which you guys are, did you ever see the movie Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze? The plot of that movie was that Patrick Swayze was a world-renowned bouncer who went to work at a bar. And what was the name of that bar? Do you know?
Come on, Kelly. You're Mr. Trivia.
The Spotted Trotter?
No. Close.
That's my hangout in
Double
Atlanta.
Yeah. It was the Double Deuce. Well, tonight the Double Deuce is coming to Patrick. So Patrick Swayze went to the Double Deuce in the movie. Tonight in Hattiesburg, the Double Deuce is coming to Patrick. Deuce Knight of George County will duel with Deuce Knight at D.I. Patrick Stadium in Hattiesburg.
Wow.
Yes, I spent way more time researching that than I probably should have, but here we
Who
are.
Who would know this other than Will East?
Or somebody with a lot of time on their hands. Hey, Will, you mentioned
guys,
Hattiesburg. How good is Hattiesburg?
Hattiesburg, they're by far the most surprising team of the year. I never would have circled this game at the beginning of the year. Usually I go through and I look at the schedule and I say, oh, this game's going to be good and, you know, in week five or week six or whatever. I never – if I would have circled this game, it would have been because of Deuce Knight of George County, who's a four-star recruit, who was a Notre Dame commit, who this week flipped over to Auburn. But Hattiesburg, guys, is just – it's crazy how good they've been. They blew out Summerall last week. Now, Summerall's winless on the season, but, you know, the season they've had so far, beating Laurel and Oak Grove and some others, a pedal early in the year in a close game. It's just a really big surprise with what Hattiesburg has done. Now, George County, Deuce Knight is a little bit banged up. He didn't play last week, but I think he's supposed to play tonight. And if they want to win tonight, if they're going to have a chance to win tonight in Hattiesburg, they're going to need him to play and do well. And then I guess the third game, guys, would be the new number one, Tupelo. And I apologize for saying that because the team with the number one beside their name has been very unlucky this year. Every team that has been that number one team has lost so far. Brandon, Louisville last week, losing to Noxubee County, Oak Grove, Starkville, all of those teams have lost. They were all number one at one point. Now it's Tupelo, who's 5-0, and they're going to be taking on West Point tonight in West Point. So it's the Green Wave versus the Golden Wave, and the Golden Wave of Tupelo. I'm always a little hesitant to kind of count them up because the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, they have started off the season really good. Last year, they started off by just blowing out everybody they played. And then in the middle of the season, they lose a game here and there. And while they have a strong regular season, they kind of sputter into the off season and, you know, lose in the second round. So I'm a little bit hesitant to call Tupelo the number one, but I think they're kind of number one in 7A by default because everybody else has a loss by their in their win-loss column. West Point, on the other hand, is a very kind of tough team to figure out this season. They lost to Starkville and Louisville, but then they went on and they beat Noxubee County and they beat Neshoba Central last week.
So Deuce Knight flips his commitment and now going to Auburn. So it'll be interesting to see what he's driving next week. But I wanted to ask you about another game in our area, the Pedal Panthers and the Picayune Maroon Tide, two schools that have really rich traditions. I'm kind of intrigued by that one, Will.
Yeah, Picayune's been another team that's been just really hard to figure out this season. You know, they got blown out by Brandon and Picayune, guys. If you're a fan of high school football, you've been following it for the past couple of years. Picayune historically just does not get blown out. Well, they got blown out not once but twice. Gulfport beat them by 20. Guys, in the past 10 years, they've had three games where they lost by 20 points. This year they have two. Okay, that's kind of what we're dealing with on this, you know, kind of unprecedented level. While Pedal is just a really good team. You know, Coach Boyle's there has got that team believing once again, and they're one that seems to be getting a little bit stronger each week. They lost that first game against Hattiesburg 7-3, but since then it's been blowout after blowout after blowout. Last week beating Long Beach, they've been on the road a lot. They're back home tonight against Picayune, and I wonder if that's the difference. But I think Pedal is a team to a dark horse in that that Region 3 of 7A because Oak Grove obviously is vulnerable. Northwest Rankin certainly is. Meridian, Coach Boyle's old team, is vulnerable. And then Brandon, although they're getting a little bit better now that they had that shocker against Clinton a couple weeks ago, you know, that had 5,000 penalties. That'll be maybe the game next week is Pedal taking on Brandon in Pedal.
Well, as you know, we carry Pedal, and Coach Rolls told me one night during our coaches show that this was a two-year project. He envisioned this being a two-year project, getting his team where he wanted Pedal back. I think he's probably a little ahead of the schedule, don't you?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that's his M.O. Is these tough teams. That's kind of what they have done over the years. You look at last year. And no knock on them last year, but I think they won maybe 3-4 games, something like that. And when you can come in the first season and, you know, match your win total, and we haven't even hit regional play, and get this, they've played a tough regional schedule. It's not like they're playing a bunch of gimme games. They played Hattiesburg. They lost that one, but it was 7-3. They played Columbia. We all know how tough Columbia can be. And then they played a couple other 7A schools. Which I play. It always goes back to this for high school football. If you play tough opponents early in the season, it always benefits you in the long run, and they've done that.
Yeah. Now, let me say, he's a class act, too. Marcus Bowles, class act.
And Shelton Gandy, you know, the former Southern Miss great who we've had on this program, Bob, out of Waynesboro. Shelton Gandy is coaching at Meridian. He's the head coach mm-hmm. of Meridian. He's going to get Meridian turned around. So if the Wildcats, who have always got great athletes in Meridian, Shelton can get all them, you know, back buying in or whatever term you want to use it, Meridian's going to be a force again.
Hey, well, we'll be carrying that West Jones game tonight on our Laurel station and on our great high school platform at supertalk.fm. So, really, thanks to Supertalk, everybody in the state can tune in and get part of that football game, which should be a really, really exciting matchup, right?
That it should.
Yeah. All right, well, real quick, high school scoreboard tonight at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock, and then, of course, supertalk.fm/high school, where you can get all the scores throughout the night, plus listen to all these games all in one place.
All right, buddy, thanks. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thank you.
Will East, everybody. When we come back, Daniel Stewart will join us. Dima here has the Super Picks of the Week. All right, get ready, guys. Louisiana at Southern Miss. We'll be right back.
Distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, want to thank Will East from Super Talk Mississippi and, of course, Jay Walker from the University of Louisiana for joining us in the show. We're at the Southern Bank Corps headquarters here in Midtown. We've got Daniel Stewart with us. He's going to get involved in our picks. Dima Mixon, ironically, coordinates all this and is leading. That's the subject for another day.
Well, we haven't tallied up, or let me just rephrase that. I haven't tallied up last week's scores, so that could be changing on Monday if you tune into the show. After we get through interviewing Coach Hall, I will tell the standings of where
something
it stands after last week and this
well,
week.
Dima. Something tells me you'll do real well. Yeah. All right, Dima, let's hear them.
All right. So we'll start in the Sun Belt as we always do. We pick five Sun Belt games in the national game of the week. We're going to start at Old Dominion taking the road to Coastal Carolina. I was kind of surprised at this line. I thought it was pretty low. Coastal Carolina is just a 5-point favorite, which they've been pretty dominant the whole year. The over-under set at 52. Kelly, we'll go to you, and then to Daniel, then Bob.
You know, Old Dominion, as I projected they would, won in an upset last week.
They did.
They will not win this week, but they will cover. I'm going to take Coastal 28-21.
Oh, okay, wow. Coastal's home team, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm about to pick a score.
Yep.
No, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, well, I think both of these teams are probably going to score. So, Coastal wins, probably thinking Coastal 35-21.
I like Coastal 28-14.
Yeah, I agree. I think Coastal probably takes this one pretty handily. I'm going to say 31-17. So that's the points, and then I think that's under. All right, App State taking the road at Marshall. Marshall's a 3-point favorite. The over-under is 58. Mr. Bob.
I like Marshall at home, but I think it's a close football game. Let's go 28-24.
Well, I think App State's going to go in very emotional with the storms and all that hit. They're going to go in and be motivated, probably like they've not been motivated before. So I think App State beats Marshall. Let's go 31-24.
I agree. I like the Mountaineers to win, but they won't cover. They're just going to win by 1 point, and the final score will be 21-20.
And God
Marshall.
Bless all the people.
Yes.
I was watching some of that film.
It's horrible.
It's awful. Yeah, I'm going to take App State as well. I was surprised at this line, too, but App State, for me, I think they win 31-23. So that's them with the points. All right, South Alabama taking the road at Arkansas State. The Red Wolves are 3-point underdogs.
And Arkansas State is an underdog at home. but they're going to win the game outright.
Wow.
They are going to beat the high-flying Jaguars, 31-30 Arkansas State.
Wow, what a prediction.
Well, I'm going to pull my Lee Corso and say not so fast here. I've seen South Alabama play, you know, like Major Applewhite. Offense can play really well, so I think offense is going to do well. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I'm going to say South Al. I can't, not supposed to say South Al, right?
But, no, go ahead.
Let's say 41-23.
Wow.
I think it's a high-scoring game.
Well, to keep relations good, I'll say South Al will win the game 38-7.
Yeah, I got South Alabama. That's a crazy score, 38-7. But I'll get South Alabama. I think it's going to be much closer than that. I'm going to say 31-28.
That's where you guys lose the week, because I'm telling you, Arkansas State's going to win.
Yeah, there you go. All right, James Madison taking the road to high-flying ULM. Who is 3-1, by the way.
Not high
but they might not week. Be high-flying this weekend. They're 16-point home underdogs. The over-under is 48.5.
No, they don't beat James Madison. James damn Madison just doesn't ever seem to lose a football game or any kind of sporting
Checkers,
event.
Checkers, Tiddlywinks.
No, I'm going 27-10.
I agree. James Madison went into Chapel Hill, put it on North Carolina pretty good. I actually do think ULM's been playing okay. I think ULM covers. I don't think they win. So I'm probably going to go 24-17, James Madison.
When James Madison can put 70 on the board on the road at North Carolina, this is going to be a high-scoring game. I think. What was the over-under on this one, Dima?
48.5.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I think a hammer. Pound the over.
Yeah, hammer the
pound
over.
The over.
I'm like Daniel. I got JMU winning, but ULM covers 40-35.
Wow. Well, I got James Madison 41-17 over the Warhawks, so I do think they're going to score a lot. All right, national game of the week, a national championship rematch. Michigan, the number 10 team in the country, at Washington. Washington is the favorite at 1.5, but the over-under is really low, 41.5.
I'm not impressed by Michigan, even though I'm really not. I'll take Washington 30-17.
I saw this stat line, and the spread was a little surprised myself, but Michigan's offense is not really good this year, but still has a really great defense. I think they're going to keep the old Mississippi State quarterback in check. I think they win this game. I think it's a low-scoring game.
Really? You like Michigan?
I like Michigan this game. I think it's going to be, I'll say, 27-17 Michigan.
Well, Dima, as we know, all Big Ten teams suck. So I'm going to take
That's crazy.
I'm going to take Washington, and I like Washington 28-21.
And before you know that Washington is a Big Ten team.
Well, they all suck.
And before we get to the final game, Ohio State playing the Internet College Phoenix, the University of Phoenix.
University of Phoenix.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm going to take Washington to win. Michigan looks terrible.
Real quick.
Louisiana Southern Miss, 16.5 point favorite. Kelly, who do you got?
Louisiana wins big, unfortunately.
Hart says Southern Miss, but I'm picking Louisiana.
I think the Raging Cajuns win by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. I got Louisiana 35-10. So.
Thank you, Daniel. You always like being with you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Southern Bank Corps, that's where we're at today. Just kidding about the Big Ten.
No, you're good. I'm not kidding about Ohio State, though.
Back in the studio Monday. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.